Are we, the pampered driving public, really the climate Nazis of history? To his dying day, Robert Hunter thought so, and said so, in his last book, Thermageddon, Countdown to 2030. This report from Radio EcoShock. On its website, Greenpeace acknowledges that Bob Hunter, perhaps more than anyone else, invented Greenpeace. Bob's guru back in the 1970s was Marshall McLuhan. Hunter planned to change the world with media mind bombs, the images that blast past conventional thinking straight to the core of the mind. He was on the first Greenpeace voyage on a rusting fishing boat to protest American testing of nuclear weapons on the Alaskan island of Amchitka in 1971. Later, Hunter dyed the white coats of harp seal pups to destroy their commercial value and classically stood between Russian harpoons and defenseless whales. His mates at Greenpeace remember Bob Hunter as a trickster figure, someone who could demolish the most serious consequences with devastating humor. All through his journey, Hunter wrote and wrote news articles, essays, and books which chronicled Greenpeace and the world of humans embedded in nature. He was often a working journalist with major Canadian newspapers and later with the television station City TV in Toronto. At one point, he appeared in a regular breakfast spot where, as Greenpeace says, he read the day's newspaper headlines and sputtered scandalously witty commentaries in a form of rapid-fire stand-up journalism. It was often hard to tell where the news ended and Robert Hunter began. He called himself a traitor to my profession and added, quote, "If we ignore the laws of ecology, we will continue to be guilty of crimes against the earth. We will not be judged by men for these crimes, but with the justice meted out by the earth itself. The destruction of the earth will lead inevitably to the destruction of ourselves." Robert Hunter died May 2, 2005, of prostate cancer. Before he left us, Hunter published his confession about two addictions that he realized too late. A couple of years previously, he managed to quit cigarettes. But the hardest addiction, the most dangerous of all, was his love of the automobile, his need for oil. There will be a raft of such confessions from the 60s generation, that time of innocence, when huge V8 engines and Kerouac-like trips across the continent had no consequences. Now we know the price of waste and fossil fuels. Hunter's last testament is really his 2002 book, Thermageddon Countdown to 2030. You won't find climate Armageddon more clearly and personally described anywhere else. Writing for his small grandson, Hunter says the time is running out for the natural world as we know it, as we humans have known it since the last ice age 10,000 years ago. We who consume so much oil, gas, and coal are the energy mammoths, a breed and a lifestyle on the verge of extinction. Like many environmentalists, Bob Hunter fears this generation will be labeled as unnatural criminals. Quote, "Those of us living now in the industrialized countries should be thankful that the barrier of time appears to be firmly locked, because if they could ever break through the people of the future, they would surely come back to strangle us, the ancestors from hell, in our sleep, for having squandered the Earth's legacy in a handful of generations. The glorious, fecund, interglacial climate, known as the Holocene, was wrecked by uncontrolled pollution." Hunter goes on to say, "The corporations and governments that today continue to profit from the flow of oil will have been found guilty of crimes against humanity." He expects gigantic claims against the oil consumers for reparations for the damages caused to islands, coastlines, storm victims, and more. "Ours is an inescapably evil generation because we had a global communication system and all the information about the problem and continued to vote about spurious issues, doing nothing to change." He condemns especially Canadians and Americans, those frequent flyers, truckers, sport utility vehicle owners, all-terrain vehicle operators, ski-doers, sea-doers, people with leaf blowers, snow blowers, power mowers, motorcycles, outboards, inboards, everybody who adds to the greenhouse gas load. He spends a chapter to condemn himself for being part of it all, despite a lifetime of trying to save the planet. It's funny, painful, truthful. We're not ignorant, just energy gluttons in denial while the Arctic melts and species disappear. It is especially strange for Hunter's generation. They always expected that doom would be accompanied by the mushroom clouds of atomic chaos. But now it is our daily lives, our formerly innocent presumptions, that create what Hunter calls accelerated positive feedback loops. These are the converging trends, the various faces of climate change that feed upon one another. Melting permafrost and bogs in the north release still more methane into the atmosphere, warming begets more warming until the system tilts out of control. While it may eventually stabilize in a new ice age, Hunter foresees this new century as a time of heat surges, storms, floods, droughts, and the relentless increase of deserts, those vast areas of near lifelessness currently expanding around the globe. Based on evidence from paleontologists and his experience interviewing hundreds of scientists, Hunter believes the point of no return will occur within the next 30 years. After that, 2030, there is no going back. If we can't act to radically reinvent a clean energy society, balanced with nature, there will be no point in activism a mere 25 years from now. Then it will be survive if you can, 25 years to Thermageddon. Factories are producing gas-guzzling vehicles at the rate of 1 per minute, 60 seconds for yet another infernal combustion engine. In the introduction, Hunter wonders of oil, is it a drug? Yes. We don't mainline it, but our machines do. Is it a drug that kills? Yes, and not just individuals. It is ecocidal. Trying to explain the fast-approaching deadline for change, Hunter encounters a syndrome of denial he calls NIML, not in my lifetime. People quickly calculate whether they will still be alive by 2030, and if not, stop worrying about it. Apparently, humans have little brand loyalty to the species. All this talk about the future is just that. It doesn't reach that internal core where we live, doesn't stop the hand that pushes buttons for power, the foot that refuses to walk. Hunter is critical of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, because they are too deeply ingrained in the power system, despite the scientific trappings. They are oil humans, too, flying to conferences and driving about. They understate a case too horrifying to confront. The scientists hesitate, try to be conservative, equivocate, while the instruments and graphs go off the chart. This is no time for Pollyanna formalism, for unfounded optimism. On October 4, 2005, just 5 months after Bob Hunter died, the American Petroleum Institute ran a full-page ad in the New York Times advising Americans to save energy. In huge type, they advised checking your tires, clean your furnace filter, and slow down to improve gas mileage. We won't need environmentalists like Robert Hunter anymore. The oil companies will guide us to Thermageddon. Get more environment news and views at Radio EcoShock. ECO, shock like an electric shock.org. 24-hour green radio, free.